Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Hello, hello, hello. Other Brad and I are on the downward swing of another great trip to Manitoba, and we're sitting outside looking over the Red River on this fine Monday morning with two very good friends of Why Fish Radio, Stu McKay of Cats on the Red Resort in Lockport, Manitoba, and Canuck, Mr. Jim Stinson of, I guess you'd say, East Lockport, Manitoba. Anyway, good morning, guys. Welcome to Why Fish Radio again, Stu.
Morning, Brad and Brad. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing pretty well. It's been a great few days up here. We've done a lot of different things this trip. It's, you know, the traditional trip when you come up to Lockport is you plant yourself out on this river and you drop anchor and bang big cats for 3-4 days. And we've done plenty of that, don't get me wrong. But, you know, we've taken a few little diversions this year. We made a trip up into Winnipeg, took a side trip into Crow Duck Lake one day, covered some new ground. What are some other things folks can do up here? I mean, you know, as far as just some different options.
Well, I guess there's a lot of different options, including if you're talking different fisheries, there's a sturgeon fishery to take advantage of during the summer months as well over on the Winnipeg, and there's a lot of locations over there to fish for them. But as you guys kind of found out too on this particular trip, with the heat we've been having so far this year in July of 2006, combined with high water temperatures, the bite has been pretty tough on the lower red. So we've been focusing in the city. We've been spending a lot of time in the city and catching a lot of fish up in there. A little bit deeper water, more aggressive fish, and overall, it's the place to be. That's going to change as the season progresses. We're coming through July now. Once we start getting into August, the days will start shortening up. Hopefully, things will start cooling down a little bit, which, of course, they will. And once that starts happening, the bite on the lower red will traditionally start picking up once again, and we'll start to see a lot of big fish again. So,
and it certainly isn't an issue of water levels. I mean, I guess as dry and as hot as it's been, when I came up, I was expecting to see, you know, water that's a lot lower, but it seems pretty normal right now. So, you know, like you say, once we get past this hot stretch, and it's affected things on our stretch of river too. They're kind of a nocturnal fish right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And on the lower red, you'll have a lot more success right now fishing at nighttime versus the day, sitting out there 80 to 90 degree temperatures with sun pouring down in the day. Right now, you're going to have a tough time out there. Nighttime's a bit different. You're going to find fish a little bit more active and so on and so forth. But the funny part is that I can't answer. I never could get a handle on it, and probably never will. Why are the fish so active? Although the water might be a little bit deeper, they're still that much more active, like in the city right now, than they are down here. The upper red versus the lower red. The upper red's more active right now than the lower red. And it's just, it's one that I'd love to know the answer to, and yet I can't answer it. And as the season progresses, again, the lower red's really going to start turning on once again.
Once that happens, what kind of patterns are you looking for? I mean, as you get into September, do you start looking for cats? Are they holed up a little bit more, or are you looking in different places?
Well, again, the important factor, and I think that applies to much of the season, particularly a little bit later on, you do have to start looking for the fish, as opposed to in the spring, pre-spawn, any dam, like this one here at Lockport, the St. Andrews Dam. It's a great place just to sit below the dam or in the vicinity of the dam and catch all kinds of fish. As the season progresses, they start moving away from the dam, and you're going to start finding a lot more fish downriver. You have to hunt them a little bit more. There's different ways of doing it. It can get a little bit technical. One of the key, keeping it simple, one of the keys is to just keep moving. And we're working main channels as a rule. We're working the deeper portions of the river, which in this case averages 15 to 20 feet. And bait patterns, well, that's a little bit different too. Bait's important. I have to elaborate on that. Bait is very, very important. And choosing the right baits at the right time of the year is the difference of catching or not catching any amount of fish. Springtime suckers are a fantastic bait to use. Tulabies are a lousy bait to use. Just complete opposite once we get into the fall bite, where tulabies becomes a primo bait, and suckers, well, you want a truckload of them, I could probably tell you where to find them. They just don't produce. Right now is July. The water temperature is extremely hot. To use any kind of sucker, red horse or other, it's almost futile. It's just almost a waste of time.
And it does seem like in the years that I've fished up here, these fish are probably more finicky. You know, like you're talking about having that right kind of bait, it makes a huge difference. I've seen times where if you don't have a frog, you're not going to get bit. So, you know, you got to be prepared that way. And of course, you know, another thing coming up as we get into the fall months is, you know, you got the run of greenbacks coming up. And last year was a pretty good year. Why don't you just talk a little bit about that? Because I know you guys were catching some really big fish.
Yeah, we certainly were. And you guys did experience, you got a little feel for it there for sure. The fall bite last year, the 2005 fall bite on the red was absolutely mind-boggling. It was that good. And there won't be any changes to that. It'll just continue on for 2006. All indications are, well, they're looking good right now for this coming fall and winter. The winter fishery, again, is simply superb, to say the least. With first ice, whenever the availability of getting out there, right through December. Once you get into January, February, you can, you know, don't plan on too many trips up here because the fishing is very sporadic. And then once March rolls around, now you can produce fish on the river again, but Lake Winnipeg is becoming a diamond out there, believe me. It's going to be very interesting. We've been fishing hard for the last couple of years in March, and the results out there have been quite staggering. What we're doing out there is just awesome.
Yeah, it really is. I know I joined you guys there for a day in late March, and you were actually a lot tanner then than you are right now. I tell you, you look like you just come out of an oven, and you had that sun baking off the ice. It was pretty intense, but... Great fishery and you know, really good action. And you know what struck me there was how shallow a lot of those fish were.
Exactly, Brad. And fishing the lake in March, for example, we're focused more on sandbars and stuff like pressure ridges, which I guess I'm not totally sure, but I believe the pressure ridges are caused from the ice shifting on sandbars and it ends up forcing up and breaking and so on and so forth. But yeah, we're fishing anywhere from 5 to about 10 feet on average out there, and basically fishing big sand flats. Very productive. Got to keep moving. Got to keep working until you find those active schools. But a little effort, it can really, really, really pay off. So hey, this is July and we're thinking about ice fishing already. You know, I'm really looking forward to next winter. And I don't know, it's with the world of portables these days, it's definitely the way to fly.
Mm-hmm. And you're set up now. You can have some folks stay here in the wintertime.
Yeah, that's was one of my goals, is to set up accommodations for people. And basically, I mean, yeah, we run a guide service. I'm not interested in ice guiding. If somebody wants a guide, so be it. We can arrange that. I'm more interested in selling accommodations. Those people that stay with us, they get all the firsthand information as to what type of lures, where we're fishing, how we're fishing, when, and all that kind of stuff. So you're getting all the first up-to-date and accurate tips to ensure that the trip's going to be a success. Obviously, people that are coming up staying with me, if they're going away with good stories, it benefits me too, doesn't it? So we go the extra mile for our guests, that's for sure.
It never, you know, there's a little window, I guess, there from March to mid-May where things wind down. But other than that, it never really ends, does it?
No, not really. It's pretty consistent. I want to turn the mic over to Jim here to Canuck. I know he wants to get a word in here, so I'm going to throw him at you. Go to it, boys.
Very good. Well, thanks again for your time, Stu. Well, sitting next to Stu here is Jim Stinson, and of course Jim has been guiding part time with Stu here for a few years now. And other Brad and I had the good fortune of meeting him at a great event called the Fish Winnipeg Media Challenge, and I guess that was back in 2003. And we had the good fortune of spending a morning in the boat with him and ended up winning the media portion of the tournament. So good morning, Jim, and welcome to Why Fish Radio to you.
I should say thanks to you guys. I got this weekend off, and I got to have some fun fishing myself.
Yeah, it looked like you were having fun, too. I tell you what, you put on a clinic out there, not only for the catfish, but for the walleyes once the ball got rolling. You were having a pretty good time.
I think I got a payback yesterday morning. I kind of put a clinic on for the cats, but you put the clinic on for the walleye early in the morning, but it may have caught up in the afternoon.
Yep, well, it certainly did. But, Jim, talk a little bit about your association with Stu and how you guys met and started fishing together. Because, you know, just by watching you two in action, I know you have a lot of fun. The bull tends to fly pretty good, and, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that. But how did that all get started?
Fun is an understatement, very much so, a lot of fun. I'm retired 8 years ago, and I started fishing here pretty heavily right after that. And Stu said, hey, Jim, you live close by. You know the river fairly well. Why don't you guide for me? And what I've got right now with Stu is it couldn't be better. In my state is I'll fill in for corporates, repeat clients, or Stu gets stuck. I'm 3 miles down the road, and I have no problem picking up my boat and coming down and going fishing.
You're not very far away. You're really lucky that way to have you know, to have a resource like this so close.
Did I tell you you're on in 10 minutes, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's right. We have fun. We have fun.
But I think I'll turn the mic over to other Brad here for a little while. I'm sure. Nope, you got to stick with your end of the mic. I'll hop off air here for a little while and see what he has to say about life.
Thanks for taking some time off.
It was fun.
That's,
it was a hoot.
That's all I can say is that was a lot of fun hanging out. And, you know, we got a couple hours to go. I know you won't be with us, but we got a couple hours to go yet today. So I want to go back to ice fishing for a minute, and I want to take us through that that big walleye you caught.
Well, again, Stu and I went out. I guess there was another fellow with us, Terry. We went down the other side of Selkirk. Stu has, as he says earlier, he knows the river. He knows it very well, not only for cats, but for also greenbacks. It was on the 24th of December, and we were targeting an area just the other side of Selkirk, sitting in the Fraybill, which is a triplex, which is unbelievably comfortable. And all of a sudden, bang, I get this walleye, get it up. It was really warm, so we step outside to take a picture of it. And we also drill holes outside to put the Vexlars and electronics down to see something. And Stu says, step back just a little bit farther, just a little bit farther. Pushes me back to take a picture. And a 10-inch ice auger, bound right down to the waist, 1 foot. But I didn't drop the fish, eh, Stu?
No, I didn't.
And couldn't quit laughing.
It was just such a funny picture. I had to have you go through that. But
it was 30 inches, and I would have 24th of December, and it would have been nice to see it at the end of March. But she went back in the hole like all our big fish do. Anything over 20 inches, down the hole.
Well, you've been doing this guiding thing for a while, as has Stu, and I want to kind of move back to summer. And when somebody comes up here from the States, I mean, the standard rods, reels, of course, is there one or two things that are different that you would want them to bring or know about on before they leave?
Make sure you bring heavy enough tackle. You're dealing with fish that you got to be looking at 20 pounds. My preference is, you know, a longer rod. I like a 9.6, sensitive in the end. Some guys like a little stiffer one. Reason why I like the sensitive ones, sometimes they get very finickety and will just be very light on the bite. I like Berkley Big Game, the high vis, because you can see the line when it goes back and forth. 2-watt Eagle Claws work very, very well. And Stu said it earlier, be willing to move. Be willing to move and fresh bait. Fresh bait. You got to have fresh bait.
The famous Canuck byline, we're here to catch fish, not save bait.
That's exactly it.
Well, guys, always a pleasure. We always enjoy coming up here. We'll be doing it again, I'm sure, probably more times than you care to see us. But always want to appreciate it. If you guys want to get up here, I know there's good fishing to be had, so of course you want to check them out on the web, catsontheread.net. And I have to pass the mic over quick.
And, you know, I guess to just kind of wrap up the story on this week, the theme here, I guess, is try some different things. I mean, you know, I think a lot of reports about, you know, coming from this area right now is how tough the fishing was. And, you know, I guess based on what I'd heard, I'd, you know, maybe tempered my expectations a little bit. But I think by, you know, some timely tips and, you know, willing to try a few different things, we had a pretty darn good week. And we caught a lot of fish and we caught some big fish. And I've got the black and blue marks to prove it. Black and blue on red is kind of my theme here. And, you know, I figure anytime you can do that, you've had a pretty darn good trip. And, you know, hopefully as this summer winds down, we'll be seeing you again this fall and winter. And need to see both of you up sturgeon fishing again. I know, Stu, you've done it up there before. Jim has not made it for 2 years in a row now, but we'd like to see you back down our way again. So until next time, this wraps up this edition of Why Fish Radio. Keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.